to Insight on Capital Public Radio. That's actually Gina Spadafore's dog, Faith, singing along to our Insight theme, giving you a smile. There we are for the morning. If you grew up hearing, instead of the dog, the pioneer stories of your parents, your grandparents, their friends, the extended family, at some point it might be hard to know which stories are true and which are, just the makings of a great novel. So my next guest, Anthony Barcelos, weaves this mix of stories that he heard and stories he imagined into a novel about a family's immigration to the United States. Tony Barcelos is a professor at American River College. He joins us in studio. The book is titled The Land of Milk and Money. Hello, welcome to Insight.
Hello, Beth. I'm delighted to be here.
So your students are listening saying, hey, he's my calc teacher, and he's written calc books, five of them, I think, in fact.
Mostly supplements and one textbook.
Okay, so there is this stereotype that part of the brain that's really good at science and math isn't necessarily so good at language, and you're just totally going to debunk that myth, aren't you?
Both parts of my brain work together pretty well most of the time.
And is it true your calculus students get an essay assignment every semester?
My calculus students do get an essay assignment every semester. It keeps enrollment under control to a degree. But the ones who sign up for me do know that I expect them to be able to express their mathematical knowledge in straightforward, clear English, because what good is the knowledge inside their heads if they can't express it, if they can't get it out and share it with people?
That's fascinating. So did I describe this correctly, that you grew up with these stories swirling all around you, and at some point they felt like part of a bigger project?
They really did. I was immersed in that all my life. Many families are full of storytellers. You have big family gatherings, and you swap stories. And in particular, in the Barcelos family, anytime there would be a new in-law or a family member visiting from overseas or just a guest at a family event, people would say, well, tell the story about the cow, tell the story about the tractor, tell the story about that accident, tell the story about the time grandma gave free advice. And my sister, to whom I give credit / blame for a lot of this, would occasionally nudge me and say, these stories should be written down before we lose them. They should be written down in book form, but in fiction, because people wouldn't believe a lot of this ever happened.
Is that the same sister that's quoted on the back of the book as saying, you could get in a lot of trouble for this?
My one and only sister. It is the same. Mary gave me a lot of the inspiration for this. And after she read the first draft of the manuscript, gave me that great quote that is on the back of the book.
So what's the real story? It's a Portuguese immigrant family. And tell me just the real nutshell of your family's moving across the United States to California.
In a brief capsule summary, my grandfather wanted a better life for his family, pulled up the entire family from its roots in the island of Terceira in the Azores in the midst of the Atlantic, and came to California to start a dairy farm. And that was in the 1920s, just in time for the Great Depression. But they rode that out okay, and he planned, after making some money, to take the result and go back and live comfortably back in the Azores. But his children grew up and became Americanized, and they soon realized that they were stuck in California. And they adapted to it, and their grandchildren are all Americans. But when my grandparents died, there was a big struggle over the estate. And that's the conflict that I fictionalized at the core of my novel.
To your grandfather, what would the phrase land of milk and money have meant?
Land of milk and honey would have come directly from the Bible as referring to the promised land, but they weren't just looking to produce milk on their dairies and have honey from beehives. They were looking for money. They were looking to improve their status. So there was a quest for wealth. And in my grandfather's case, it was very successful, but it also resulted in an estate over which people were willing to go to court to attain.
So you are prepared to share one of the stories in the book. And I should explain, there are stories out of chronology, snippets here, snippets there. You follow some trails. It's really a fun and funny book.
Thank you. It's organized around the court case over my grandmother's will. I fictionalized it with new names and new people involved, but it's very close to history. made it a lot easier for me to write because a lot of these things I witnessed in some form or another. But after each major court scene, there are flashbacks that fill in details on individual characters and incidents. So instead of being strictly chronological, it's court scene, vignettes that flash back, court scene, vignettes that flash back. And one of the flashbacks tells you about the matriarch, Teresa Francisco. And Teresa, who's been a widow in this scene for several years, is routinely ignored by her older son, who is running the dairy farm. The old woman could provide lots of useful advice, but Candido is a good traditional male chauvinist who doesn't want to listen to mom. So here's a scene, an excerpt from Teresa Gives Free Advice. Teresa brewed a pot every morning in anticipation of her son's visits. Candido could be relied upon to drop in, but he would stay exactly as long as it took him to drink one cup. Teresa had brought larger mugs, but Candido just drank faster. He felt obliged to visit his mother regularly, but he did not feel obliged to linger. Candido slurped his coffee as his mother sat across from him with her hands folded. "Who was that young man with the white pickup truck?" "Oh, that was just the man from the consulting firm." Teresa pondered that for a moment. "What was he consulting about? I saw him several days last week, but then no more until today." Candido wondered if it would be worthwhile to create a new driveway into the dairy site that wouldn't pass next to his mother's house. Probably not. She had a very good vantage point from her living room chair, and he couldn't very well move the dairy barn. "Mom, he's helping us raise milk production. He was here looking over the operation. Today, he came back to give me his report." Teresa nodded her head. "I hope he told you that the boys are feeding the cows too much corn silage. Cows need dry hay, too. I know it's easier to feed them silage, but the hay is important." Candido shocked his mother by getting up from the table, going over to the counter, and pouring himself a second cup of coffee. He would have preferred to bolt from the room, but this was the smoothest way he could turn his back for a few seconds. Candido took a deep breath, composed himself, and sat back down at the table. He smiled at his mother as he laced his coffee with cream and sugar. "Right, Mom. I'll mention that to the boys." The report was stuffed in Candido's pocket. He had already looked at the executive summary on its first page, and he knew what it said. The consultant wanted the Franciscos to feed more dry hay to their milk cows. Their diet was too heavy on corn silage. Candido slurped his coffee. He couldn't help wondering, if he asked his mother how much her advice was worth, would it match the consultant's bill of $5,000? Teresa Gives Free Advice.
Yes, free advice. Lovely little vignettes all the way through. That is Tony Barcelos, who is the head of the math department at American River College and author of the new novel Land of Milk and Money. It's your first dip into fictional literature or literature like this, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So how is it to put it out there and wait and watch for reviews and reaction?
It's exhilarating and confusing because it's so different from anything I've done before. Having the family stories in print in fictional form is really exciting to me. And I have received a number of very positive reviews. And in fact, the book is the topic of discussion at some conferences, like the Modern Language Association is featuring it in a presentation on imagining the Portuguese migrant experience.
Yes.
And I'm going to be back in Massachusetts for some presentations at the University of Massachusetts, which is my publisher. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm going across country to promote my book and read excerpts from it is, like I said, a bit bewildering. I didn't realize it would come to this.
In fact, you have a lot of invitations like that, either because of the Portuguese heritage or the writing and the writing style. I see that the Sacramento chapter of the American Association of University Women have invited you to speak to them next month.
I actually spoke to them last weekend.
Oh, you did?
There were 70 people present, and we had a hilarious and rollicking time. Very receptive audience with lots of great questions.
It's just such a different part of life than what I imagine your day-to-day being as head of the math department.
The head of the math department at American River is a full-time teacher rather than a full-time administrator, so I spend most of my time in the classroom and a lot of my time outside the classroom correcting papers and writing exams. So having done this adds a whole new dimension to my regular experience.
Now, I was thinking the biggest risk of this, Tony, is that the future generations are going to believe that most of this is really their family. They won't know which part is fiction and which isn't.
I will leave them to puzzle that out as best they can. So far to date, I have received only one non-fan letter from someone who insisted I had slandered her family in a particularly libelous way, and I wrote back a very nice, long, apologetic letter saying, "But all of the things you said in your letter didn't happen in real life, which proves it's fiction. So anyone who says, oh, this reminds me of your family, you can say, no, it's clearly fiction. The author got practically everything wrong."
I think your sister Mary was right. You were going to get in trouble, weren't you?
It may yet happen, Beth.
Thank you so much, Tony. Great to have you here.
A pleasure to be with you.
Tony Barcelos is the author of The Land of Milk and Money. He is among 40 writers who will join this Saturday's Authors on the Move event to benefit the Sacramento Library Foundation and Summer Reading Program. We have more information about the event and Tony's book at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.